Blog Talk Radio.
Animal House, and we're talking to animals today on WAMS Radio. Hi, I'm Bert Allen. Thanks for joining us today. Our special guests are Dr. Tom Rexroth and his co-author Mark Andrew Olson. The book is Animal Colony, and it's available online at animalcolonybook.com. Gentlemen, welcome to WAMS. And Tom, let's start with you. Where did the idea for this book, Animal Colony, come from?
Well, I appreciate you allowing us to be on your program today, Bert. The idea actually came from, Mark and I were looking for a novel way to show everyone the consequences of a big government takeover of our freedoms. And we decided that being able to see what happens through the group, through a group of animals would be a good way to present the principles that we want to convey without having to actually force our ideas on anyone. The best way to learn is by actually, you know, viewing other people's mistakes. That's the most painless way to learn anyway, and we thought this would be an ideal vehicle to accomplish that.
Well, Mark, I read the book. I read Animal Colony. I thoroughly enjoyed it just as a read, not even taking into account the overall message of socialism, if you will. But for our listeners that haven't yet read Animal Colony, can you give us a brief overview of what the book's about? It's somewhat related to the classic Animal Farm.
It is related to it, and it actually started out, the first idea was to do a straight sequel, and then we realized that there was a lot more freedom in doing something that was completely American. So this is a completely American remake of that idea. And it starts out in Jamestown at the beginning of a really hard winter when the colonists have failed and the animals realize that they're not going to survive the winter. They're going to be slaughtered for food and for meat over the winter. And one of their leaders has a vision of a place of their own where they can achieve liberty and prosperity. And so they escape Jamestown, and they actually have a lot of adventures in reaching their kind of promised land. They actually find an abandoned Indian village, and there they start their own colony, Animal Colony. And they achieve, over time, they achieve liberty and prosperity until a very cunning pig comes along who realizes that he can gain power and a lot of success for himself by telling some untruths and starting a slide into basically what we know today as big government and cradle to grave handouts. And that's where the story becomes something that a lot of readers start to recognize, you know, from the headlines of the newspapers and in the media right now.
And there really is a great aha moment in the book. The book is Animal Colony, and it's available now for Book Surge Publishing, and you can pick up your copy at animalcolonybook.com. And Tom, I love the book. I enjoyed it thoroughly as a reader and also for what it had to say. But, I mean, this is a book that is a story with a message for our times, I think. Do you personally, in your heart of hearts, feel like the United States is headed down this sort of slippery slope towards socialism that you allude to in the book?
I think it's important that we all see the consequences of the direction we're heading. Maybe some of the consequences are good. Maybe some of the consequences aren't quite so good. But I think it's important that everyone goes into what into our future history with their eyes wide open. And Animal Farm gives you a perspective on what can happen and with the direction that we're presently heading.
And Mark, Tom just mentioned Animal Farm and Animal Colony that you are the co-author of. As you look back at sort of the history of literature, there have been other novels down through the years that have changed political policies in the past.
That's true. We really wanted to follow in that tradition. And, it's humbling to look back, but of course, you can start out with the very book that inspired us, Animal Farm, that had a huge negative impact on the public relations and the goodwill that the Soviet Union used to have in the Western world. When Animal Farm was first published, it was in the 30s, and the Soviet Union was essentially an ally of the West, and it wasn't very popular to question communism. But you can go back even further. I mean, obviously you have Uncle Tom's Cabin, as a great landmark in our nation's literature that, it was a really good novel, a good story, but it also allowed a lot of people who never got to experience the plight of slavery firsthand a chance to really see the human face and the human cost of it. You can go, there's other ones like even The Jungle that early in the 20th century exposed, the meatpacking practices and changed a lot of our industry. And then you can go back in time all the way to A Modest Proposal. So there's a rich tradition of that. And we kept that in mind, but one of our priorities was definitely that we didn't want to preach at people. Animal Colony, I don't think, is a preachy book. We've got a lot of adventure and a lot of incidents in the story that are make it worth reading and a lot of fun just for its own sake. But then, of course, there is definitely a strong message in there about the cost of becoming addicted to big government and to handouts.
Animal Colony is the book, and it's sort of an Americanized, updated version of the George Orwell classic Animal Farm. Tom, as a school kid in the 70s, reading Animal Farm, I remember very well how it planted these thoughts in my mind that, as a junior high kid, I read that book in junior high, I think, would never have come into my mind otherwise. And I really did have that aha moment where I thought, that Soviet Union way of doing things is not so good, because on the surface, communism and socialism in their purest forms, to many people, they see nothing wrong with sharing the wealth. So I guess my question to you is, would you like to see your book, Animal Colony, is something that makes it into the hands of school kids?
Yes, we consider it a novel for young adults, but I think people of any age would enjoy it. Just this last week, somebody who I didn't know came up to me and said that they just read Animal Colony, and they were in probably their 70s. And they said they underlined half the book. They found it to be so true of what we're going through today that they found that many points in the book that they thought were important to underline. So I took that as a real compliment that what Mark and I have done is really for today, and it's something that people are interested in reading.
Dr. Tom Rex Roth and Mark Andrew Olson are our guests today. They're the co-authors of Animal Colony, and you can find out more about the book and pick up a copy on their website, animalcolonybook.com. If you'd like to join in the conversation, the number to call is 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. It's a free call in the metropolitan New York City area. You can also zap us an online chat message here at blogtalkradio.com/WAMS. Mark Ralph Reed, the former head of the Christian Coalition, had this to say about Animal Colony, and I quote here, "Animal Colony highlights the dangers of collectivism and socialism in a way that's both entertaining and informative. This little book is a powerful tool that cuts through media bias and makes a compelling argument for individual freedom and limited government. Now, that's pretty high praise from a guy who's pretty far up in the conservative movement. What do you think when you hear something like that?
Oh, I mean, I'm incredibly gratified because that's exactly the kind of thing that we wanted to come out with. We wanted something that could cut through all of the fog that's surrounding what's happening in our country today. I mean, you know, there's a lot of kind of idol worship, you know, in terms of the you know, the cult of personality and around our new administration. There's I'm you know, personally, I don't think I'm stepping out of bounds in saying that there's a lot of media bias that's kind of keeping the truth and the stakes about what's going on from reaching the American people. And sometimes when you've got that kind of a fog, you need something that's out of left field to cut through it, something that's fresh. You know, sometimes more debating over the water cooler just isn't going to cut it. You need something from out there. I even, you know, one comparison from the last year was Joe the Plumber. You know, we had a kind of a stale campaign, and out of the blue comes, you know, this guy who just asks an innocent question and out of the grassroots, and all of a sudden he captures the platform, you know, the national imagination. And that's what we need right now too, is as all of these incredibly you know, costly bills and packages are going through the Congress, we need something fresh and to communicate exactly what's at stake. And that's why these novels every so often can be incredibly powerful. It's easy to look down on a story, you know, even especially a story about talking animals. But the fact is, you know, Animal Farm was called the century's most devastating act of political destruction, even though it was about talking animals. And I think this, our story, Animal Colony's story of talking animals, can do the same thing. It can cut through and carry the truth to people who just aren't hearing it any other way right now.
Tom Rexroth and Mark Edward Olson, our guest today on WAMS, talking about the brand-new book, Animal Colony. It's available online right now from Book Search Publishing. You can get it at Amazon.com. And if you're listening to our podcast, you'll see a photo of the book. You can click on the link there to pick it up, or you can visit them on their own website, animalcolonybook.com. And Dr. Rexroth, you know, some would say to you, hey, what's wrong with sharing the wealth a bit and giving people who need a helping hand some support? You know, after all, that's the moral Christian thing to do. Now, what say you to that question?
Well, what the animals' experience was in Animal Colony is that that's the way they did things at first. Each individual had a responsibility to his, first off, himself, to take care of his own needs, then take care of his family needs, and then take care of the people that the needy people around him. And this is what we should do as human beings. But there's a big difference between, and the animals see this too, there's a big difference between me seeing a need and taking care of it and the government stepping in and taking away my resources and using my resources not only to help that person but also to gain more power and influence and control for themselves. So while when you and I help someone in need, we do it in a way that is to their benefit. And it's we shouldn't do it in a way that they owe us. But when the government's involved, a lot of that caring has to be replaced by regulation. And when it ends up being a way of the government actually gaining more power over all the individuals. And this is there's consequences to that. And this is what the animals see.
Tom, I'll tell you that there's an old joke that, you know, if someone walks up to you in your front yard and says, I'm here from the government and I'm here to help you, that you run in the other direction, you close the door. And being headquartered right here in Washington, D.C., certainly there is an enormous amount of government waste that goes on and poor administration of these funds. I think we're beginning to see that now with the economic stimulus package, and you know, just this week the news about AIG do you see an end in sight to these entitlements, or at least the abuse of these entitlements?
The end, I guess if you read AnimalCon, you'd see that the end may not be in anyone's best interest. You can either have security or you can have freedom. You can't have a full measure of both. And as security increases, your freedoms have to decrease. And that's one of the subtle principles that people will see when they read Animal Colony.
The co-authors of Animal Colony are Mark Andrew Olson and Dr. Tom Rexroth. And Mark, you've written a couple of movies and screenplays, and quite certainly if you've had anything to do with the movie business, as well as a lot of folks in the book business, you're bound to have some friends who are on the left. And, you know, I'm curious if you've had any of those folks read Animal Colony. And Mark, if so, what have they had to say about this book? Do they just hate it and throw it back in your face?
You know, so far, out of my own best interest, I've actually kept the book away from most of my friends, although most of them know exactly where I stand. But for right now, because I've got some other screenplays and books that are making the rounds out there, I'm kind of keeping this book away from them. It can kind of be red meat, you know, for the wrong kind of person, the person who just is enamored with what's happening right now to our country. This is a debate that can turn really passionate and really fierce quite quickly. But I do think that one of the wonderful things about Animal Colony is it's something you can give your neighbor. Instead of getting into an argument with them, you can just say, you know what, I understand that you don't get where I'm at, but why don't you just read this story and tell me what you think? And I do think that in most cases, especially outside of Hollywood, it's a really constructive way to engage people.
Now, Tom, what about you? Have you gotten any feedback from folks on the left who've read the book? And if so, what have they said to you about it?
Okay, I've had quite a few people that I've given it to who tend to be more towards the liberal side. And so far, we've had a lot of converts to the, and once they see the consequences of what seems like a good direction, you know, it seems kind and caring to want to take care of other people's needs and to transfer that responsibility to the government. It seems kind and caring, but once they see the consequences of that and how it destroys our, destroys families, it destroys incentive to work harder. Once they see that through the eyes of these animals, they tend to become what they really are, conservatives. I think most of the, probably 70% of the population is actually conservatives, but many of them are fooled by what sounds good from the more liberal side.
One thing I can tell you, Berg, too, is in Hollywood, just like what Tom's saying, when you scratch the surface, you find that a lot of people who would describe themselves as social liberals are, in fact, fiscal conservatives and are just as concerned about about the fate of our country on the fiscal level as anyone else would be in the what they call flyover country where we live. And that's very encouraging. And I think those numbers are increasing right now.
Mark Andrew Olson and Dr. Tom Rexroth, the co-authors of the book Animal Colony. It's available online at animalcolonybook.com. It's a fun read. It's a quick read, and it's an adventure story that young adults as well as those of us who are a little more seasoned can all take something away from. Tom, with Animal Colony now in bookstores, what is your hope for this book? Do you want to have a book that people will enjoy? Do you want the message to get out there? Ideally, what do you want to see happen with this little book?
Well, we'd like to see it eventually be required reading by every student before they vote. They need this perspective. But it's been said that if we forget our history, we're destined to repeat it.
Sure.
And Animal Colony is the history of America through the lives of these animals. One thing it's fun. It's fun for the reader is to, as they go through, just to kind of see, equate it, what they read to what they know from our American history, and they'll see different the attitudes of different presidents there. They'll see different incidences. Maybe they see this happened to the Pilgrims, this happened during the Revolutionary War, like this. So it's kind of an adventure in the fact that the animals go through adventures, but it's also adventurous because it'll bring back a lot of memories of American history. So we'd like to see anyone interested in history, anyone that's interested in the direction of our country. We'd like to see them read the book, and for those who tend to be more on the liberal side, to maybe see more clearly what the consequences are. Many things that our leaders say sound great on the surface and sound kind and caring, but maybe the consequences aren't quite as positive as what we'd like to think that they are.
Now, you guys obviously are worried about the socialist agenda that we hear about on television and the radio an awful lot. But Mark, folks listen to these interviews from all over the country, from all over the world, for that matter. And what do you say to somebody who's in one of these really stricken towns, in Elkhart, Indiana, or Columbia, South Carolina, where, unemployment is at 16%, and these folks are losing their homes, they have no jobs, and what do you say to these folks who are at the point now where they don't want to go back to the economic policies of the past because that's what has put them on the receiving end of the bread line?
Yeah, and I would say to that kind of a person, please don't believe someone who comes in from Washington or anywhere and tells you that the way out of the situation is more taxation and more things from the government. The government's job, especially when you look back at our founding fathers, has never been to provide each major aspect of daily life to the people, supposedly free of charge. Starting with you got health care, education. Pretty soon it's food. These things are not the rightful place. And when somebody starts telling you that they're going to give it to you, it's not going to happen. It's only going to deepen the economic problems that we've got in the first place. We've got a strong country. We've got a strong infrastructure, especially in the heartland of our country. And we need to rely on the priorities that made this nation great, and that was not socialism. It's the strength of our people that made us great, and the strength of our faith too.
Now, Tom, there are an awful lot of folks listening right now who I'm sure would say, "Hey, look, it's you guys, it's the conservatives that got us into this mess. That's why the economy's in this severe recession." How would you respond to that?
Well, you'd have to look back about what caused the recession, this recession we're in now, if you look back, it was government programs, it was government interfering in our economic in our economy, and if the government does have one purpose, they should be breaking up monopolies. But like AIG, it's an enormous, huge insurance company and reinsurance company. But if the government would have prevented them from getting that big, we would know that big government is dangerous, but so is big business. With the Sherman antitrust law that should be used almost on a daily basis in America, has been put to the side, and they've let crony capitalism come in and take over our businesses. But Mark's right. The way to bring economy to places like in Indiana and places like this is by letting the money that the people in that community make stay in the community. You can't let Washington come in and take out half the money out of a community and then expect that community to prosper. And like even the case of like education, it's my understanding that For every dollar we send to Washington, we get 25 cents back for education. The rest of it's burned up in the bureaucracy, and we can't allow that to happen to our small town America. The money needs to be left in the community, circulated within the community, and that's the way you bring prosperity and bring jobs to America.
So, Mark, if not the government to help people in need in a time like this, then who? Who's good at it? Who can get it done?
Well, we've always had all kinds of layers of ways to care for our people. I mean, you start with the family, whether it's immediate family or the extended family. That used to be one of the most treasured ways that we cared for each other. But then beyond that, you'd have the community. I mean, once upon a time, people felt a much greater responsibility, and in many parts of the country, they still do, to take care of the guy down the street who, the farmer down the street who's in the hospital and can't bring his harvest in, you'd see guys coming in with tractors and pitching in so that his family would stay afloat. Then you've got churches. The church has always been an incredible support system. And it's incredible to me that some of the debate on the other side almost seems to insinuate that if the government isn't going to do it, then nobody's going to do it. That if you try to tell them, Uncle Sam needs to get out of this business, then you're actually trying to take food out of the mouths of babies, and you're trying to prevent people from getting any help at all. And that's really sad to me because, we do have these existing structures, and they've been around since our country started.
Tom, some folks might say, look, you guys are hard-hearted. You're authors, you're doctors, you write movies. You're going to be okay. You're going to weather this storm just fine. But boy, you have no sympathy or empathy for folks who are less fortunate. Now, how would you answer that criticism?
Well, kind of an interesting way. You can look at what people do with their money. It's a good indication of how much they really care. And while most of my friends and most people I know give over 10% of their income each month to the charitable organizations, if you look at some of the past candidates for president, it's been like they make several hundred thousand dollars a year and they give $300 to charity, some wealthy senators, they're real anxious to take our money through taxes or whatever and use that for charity. But if you look at really what they do with their money, they aren't out there helping people around them. And I think our leaders should be real cheerleaders for America taking care of each other. Even you can look at Katrina. There's still churches and charitable organizations down there helping people, while the government pulled out long ago and really screwed things up in the first place. So you really have to look at who's the best, who or what is the best in the best position to take care of people's needs. And I think you'll often have to admit that it's not the federal government. It might be state and local government that is in a good position to take care of people's needs, but it's not the federal government. So what the Animals and Animal Colony found is that, once the federal government, once the central government takes over, there's really a breakdown of the family and of different entities that are time-tested and have worked for thousands of years. So Animal Colony is a warning about letting our federal government get too big.
Gentlemen, I'll tell you, as I read the book, it's not a political issue. It's a common sense issue, and you gentlemen nailed it with this book. The book is Animal Colony. It's available online at animalcolonybook.com. Dr. Tom Rexroth, Mark Andrew Olson, we're almost out of time. Thank you both for being on WAMS today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You bet. As we record this interview, it is St. Paddy's Day, 2009, and here's to the luck of the Irish for all our listeners. Have a wonderful day. I'm Burke Allen. Thanks for listening to WAMS. I
is growing, water's flowing, a free and easy way. But give me enough of the fine old stuff that's made near Galway Bay. And policemen all from Donegal, Sligo and Leitrim too. We'll give them the slip and we take a sip of the rail on Mountain Dew. Hi, the dilly day lum, dilly doo dilly lum, dilly doo, right, dilly day. Hi, the dilly day lum, dilly doo dilly lum.